For the psalmist says, I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And we know that God has plans for our welfare and our future, so it's good that we join together this morning and give thanks. I do have just a few quick announcements, but before I give them to you, I want to invite Debbie up front. She's going to let you know about next week.
Okay, faithful people out there, you need to fill a pew or pack a pew. Next week is our third annual hymn sing. It will feature the chancel choir. It will feature the handbells. Oh, you're going to love what they're ringing. And we will have a guest flutist with us as well. And we want you to be a part of it. Now, in our congregation, we sing hymns all the time. But there's people out there whose churches don't do that anymore. So spread the word. There'll be an article in the paper this next week. I'm going to do a radio spot. And I just want you to invite people to come so that they can hear these great hymns of faith. Thank you.
Yeah, come and we can make a joyful noise. I want you to know that with the flooding that's going in Beaumont and South and all of that, David Franson after worship will be in the narthex. And if you want to know about some opportunities to help or to give, he's got some contact information. But I also just wanted to remind you, the Presbyterian denomination and our presbytery has PDA, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. And you can actually Google that, pda.org. But they can all often have announcements about ways you can help or give to reach out to folks that have been flooded. Also, you have another opportunity this Sunday. The green envelopes are for our peace and global witness offering, and there's an insert in the bulletin about that if you want to give to that specific offering. To our young adult that is here, our young adults are going to get together Saturday. This Wednesday, our children are going to get together for Bible belts, and we do have our Wednesday morning Bible study to which you are all welcome. But do pay attention to the announcements that are there in the bulletin. But if you will, since we're here to worship God as the family of God, would you turn to one another and extend to them the welcome and the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Join me in the call to worship, please. The disciples cried, Lord, increase our faith.
We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
The road is often rough and we feel inadequate for the journey.
But in all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength.
God does not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and love. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. God, thank you that You are still, through your word, speaking to our lives today. And thank you that your word brings such good news of mercy, reconciliation, welcome, and even an invitation to serve alongside Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you have done to bring us into your family and to make us members of your kingdom. And our prayer this morning is not just for our church, but for churches everywhere, whether they be many or whether they be few, that as you are present in your Holy Spirit, you would empower us all to live not only in confident hope, but in joyful service, because we are indeed empowered by your presence. So let your Holy Spirit be here to encourage our faith and increase the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is so needed in our world today. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you will, grab your hymnal. Our first song is going to be Fight the Good Fight. It's hymn 307. Let's stand and sing hymn 307.
Today we are going to have a responsive reading, which is Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9, and that may be found on page 510 of your pew Bible. This is an exhortation to patience and trust. It reminds us that our faith is well placed when placed in the Lord. We can count on God with great confidence to do what God has promised, because God does not fail. No matter how bad or how hard our situation, we should trust and turn to God to find our way. for God is faithful. Let us now read responsively Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9, found on page 510 of your pew Bible. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
We've heard that God is our source of help. God is our strength and our redeemer. And therefore, we can live no matter what we face as joyful people. So let us respond to that word we just heard. Let's give our thanks. Let's give God our praise as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father and to
be seated. You know, God's word announces that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. So knowing that we are to be stewards of all that God has provided, let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Let us share what we have with the giving of our offerings, so that ministry and worship of Jesus Christ might continue.
Thank you.
Everything we have is a gift from you. Our life, our family, this caring church family, the freedoms that we have, the wonder of creation and its order. Now, in gratitude and trust, we seek to honor and glorify you by bringing our monetary gifts for the church and community ministry. Amen.
You may be seated, unless you're one of our young people. If you're one of your young people, I'd love it if you'd come up here and join me for just a minute. All right, we got some lively people. Well, good. How are y'all doing today? Doing good? Thumbs up? Okay. Well, hey, I want to talk to you about what Jesus was trying to teach the people around them. It has a lot to do with honesty and the value of being honest. Jesus told his followers and the people around him, Michael, he said, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. What do you think he meant when he said, if you can be trusted with a little, you can also be trusted with a lot? What do you think that means? Yeah, one is, can you be trusted at all? That's certainly a good observation, Michael. Well, hey, what is that over there? Does anybody know what that is over there? Anybody want to get it for me? Anybody? Go check it out, Rob. See what it is. It's a blue pouch. You found a blue pouch. What's in it? And some papers. Wow. Is there very much money? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, there's even a $100 bill in there. Wow. What are you going to do with it? I mean, you found it. You're going to keep it. Okay. His brother says no. Here, why don't I take that? Because maybe that was meant for the church, okay? Okay. Well, you found a pouch full of money. And what I want to do is I'm going to tell you about three people that found money. And I want you to see what you think about what they did. Hector Rodriguez was a 15-year-old boy. And one day he found a bag of money and it had $120 in it. And that bag of money was on top of a Coke machine. Now, what do you think Hector did with the $120 he found in a bag on top of the Coke machine? He what? He took it. No. He went to his teacher because he was at school, and him and the teacher went to the principal's office to turn in the money. And when Hector was asked, how come you didn't keep the money? He was worried. He said, well, if this was an employee's money who took it out of the machine, I'm afraid they might get in trouble for having lost all the money, and I don't want anybody to get in trouble. So what do y'all think what Hector did? Good?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here, I want you to listen about Eddie. Eddie was walking home, and he found a bag on the sidewalk. And he picked it up, and guess how much money was in there? $4,000. $4,000. What do you think he did with the money? Kept it. Who says he went on vacation? Yeah, maybe he went on vacation. But no, he called the police. He said, I found a bag of money with $4,000 on the way home. And you know what had happened? The police had a call from a store owner who said, I was going to the bank and I must have dropped my bag of money. I can't find it. It had $4,000. So the police were able to get the store owner his money back. How do you think the store owner felt?
Happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me tell you about one other guy named Jason. Okay, he was driving his car and he saw what looked like was a book. lying on the road. And so he stopped and he picked it up, and it was an appointment book. Somebody had a bunch of appointments, but it also had pockets. And when he started looking in the pockets, he found money. And guess how much he found?
$1,000.
You're close. You're close. No, you're close the first time when you said 1,000. He found $9,000. $9,000. That is a bunch of money, y'all. That's probably more than you get in a whole year of allowance. Well, anyway, what do you think he did with the money? He took it to the police. He said, I found this $9,000 lying on the road. And they said, gosh, that sure was good of you to turn it in. What made you want to do it? And he said, I just thought it was the right thing to do. Huh. The right thing to do. Y'all, does it feel good to do the right thing? Yeah. Do you know doing the right thing can help others feel good as well? Yeah. When Jesus was saying, you can be, if you're trusted with little, you can be trusted with much. And if you're dishonest with little, you're going to be dishonest with much. You know, maybe he is trying to get us to think about whether or not we'll do the right thing. He wants us to think about, can we be honest? Can we do the right thing? I wonder what I would do if I found $9,000 laying in the road. You know, would I be like Jason and call the police and turn it in? Well, Jesus told the story about a rich man, and the rich man had a manager. And the manager was using the rich man's money for himself. The rich man discovered that the manager was wasting his money. And so he called him in and he fired him. And after Jesus told that story, he said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If we make sure that we're honest in the small things, then we can be sure we'll learn to be honest in the big things. And if people know that they can trust us in small things, they also will learn they can trust us with big things too. Why don't we pray that we can learn to do the right thing, not just for ourselves, but for others? Why don't we pray and ask God's goodness to help us? Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to remember what Jesus taught about honesty. And help us to be honest in every situation, big or small. Help us look to do what is good and right, not just for ourselves, but for all others, so that we can live in the example of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Y'all were a lively bunch today. Thank you for coming up and learning about doing good. Y'all give them a round of applause. Thanks so much, y'all. We'll sing our next hymn, and our next hymn is Though I May Speak, number 335. Let's stand and sing that together, hymn 335.
Though I may speak with bravest voice,
Today's Old Testament lesson is taken from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 to 22, and is found on page 709 of the Pew Bible. Similar to our Jeremiah reading last week, we hear words that tell us the people of God can often wander far from God. The people, due to their sin, feel like God has given up on them and there is no hope. They are wondering if there is any way out of their dilemma. When asked if there is balm in Gilead, the answer is yes. Gilead was known for its balm found in its trees. The problem is the people have forgotten to apply it to their wounds. Let us hear these words and repent of our waywardness from God. Let us be sure to walk daily with the Lord and let him apply his power to redeem our living. Let us read together. I will read Jeremiah 8, verses 18 to 22. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is sick within me. Hark, the cry of the daughter of my people from the length and breadth of the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much, choir. We're going to be in 2 Timothy today, if you want to follow along. You know, last week, we tried to hear God's Word tell us, don't think you're not worthy for God's ministry, God's service, God's call. God can use anybody. God can use you. And today we're going to hear about empowerment. You know, there's that verse that a lot of people quote, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And not only is that a verse that's easy to memorize, but one reason I think it's so popular is we realize we do need strength. I mean, the brokenness of this world that we so often encounter in our day-to-day living requires a strength of courage or confidence or hopefulness in us if we're going to face it and meet it. Certainly, if we're going to step out and minister to the trials and the tragedies of our day, we're going to need a strength. And oftentimes in those situations, we realize a strength that is way beyond that of our own. But the good news is, we have it. Paul is going to try to encourage Timothy so that he doesn't get frustrated as a witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What you won't hear in the reading I read this morning is the fact that Paul is encouraging Timothy as he writes from prison. Here's a guy in prison, tell the other guy, chin up. I love it. And that is the message that we will get to hear this morning. So let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Vision is an imagining. It's a seeing of what could be. And it's important in life, in any life. Vision is that elusive thing that just dares to dream. Oftentimes, big dreams about the future. Vision is what an inventor has when he or she thinks outside the box to create something new. Vision is what a mother has when she looks at her newborn baby and imagines all that the child could grow up to become. There's also a thing called empowered vision, and that's a little different. Empowered vision not only dreams, but it seeks to fulfill those dreams. Vision has been called hope with a blueprint. Empowered vision sets about putting the blueprint into motion. An empowered vision is what motivates us to set goals and actually pursue them. I'm glad there's a thing that I call empowered vision. It's often good in that it has a way of ignoring its critics and chasing its dreams, no matter how many people say, you know, that just can't be done. Over the centuries, we've got examples. Many a famous prediction has been proven wrong because of those who understand the power of vision. Christopher Columbus had a vision of a world that wasn't flat, even though everybody around him was telling him, you're going to sail off the edge. The founding fathers of our nation had a vision for the United States to be a very different country from all others, despite what the King of England had to say. I like this one. Western Union actually wrote in a memo in 1876, the telephone has too many shortcomings to be considered as a means of communication. Oh my gosh, we can hardly get it detached from our bodies nowadays. Some actually thought Thomas Edison's ideas weren't too bright. In 1899, the U.S. Office of Patents said, everything that could be invented has been invented. I'm glad that wasn't me. The chairman of IBM said back in 1943, I think there's a market for maybe 5 computers in the world. For you 60s lovers, the Decca record recording company said in 1962 when they turned down signing a group named the Beatles, we don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out. Vision, especially empowered vision, has a way of ignoring those who say it can't be done, and it goes about getting it done anyway. Yet all of us know there's times, even if it's empowered vision, that vision can fade. The flame of vision begins to dim. Its passion begins to ease. Its heat begins to cool. Its hurdles can seem too high when the new dreams are no longer dreamed. That's what's happening to young Timothy, and the apostle Paul is writing to the young protege so that the dreams can be rekindled. Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to try and salvage a mess in the Ephesian church. And when Timothy got there, he felt like he was in way over his head. And I think most of us know what it's like to be in a situation when we're way over our head. It can be unnerving. It can be frightening. It can give us anxiety. The danger of being in over our head, or the danger of having our vision fade, is it can cause our vision of what God can do in us and through us to grow dim. And today what we are hearing Paul say to Timothy is, don't let that happen. Don't doubt. what God can do in you and through you. Don't let the vision of that fade. Last week, as I said, we talked about how we're not disqualified from being useful to God. Our past, our mistakes, our failures, they don't keep us from being useful to God. And this week we learned that it's not just that we are qualified, but we are also empowered. We are empowered by God to be fruitful. We can indeed be empowered for faithful service. But just like the Sunday school teacher, I remember at a previous church that I served, she came up to me one Sunday after church and said, "I only had 2 kids in Sunday school today, and last week I only had 1, and the week before that there weren't any. I just don't know if the time I spend preparing for each Sunday school class is really going to do any good." Well, based on our passage this morning, I think Paul would tell that Sunday school teacher, "Pull up a chair, you and Timothy, and let me talk to y'all together." You may recall Jesus honestly and he clearly stated to his followers, in this world you will have tribulation. You will. I love the Christian faith because it's honest about that. But Jesus said to his followers, in this world you'll have tribulation, but do not fear, I have overcome the world. And the one who overcomes the world is the one who comes to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So is it any wonder that Paul reminds Timothy, he doesn't have a spirit of timidity. He has a spirit of power. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that gave breath and life to Adam and Eve. That very same Spirit that gave incredible strength to Samson. The same Spirit that enabled young David to have sure aim with his slingshot when he faced Goliath. The same Spirit that blew into a valley of dry bones and brought them all back to life. The same Spirit that opened doors and allowed Peter to be set free from prison. The same Spirit that has given life and sustained God's church even throughout the centuries to this very day. Because this is no ordinary power. The forces that are in opposition to God quiver when they see someone in faith join with the Lord. Whether you believe this or not, the devil knows that we've been given a spirit of awesome power, of fantastic power, which is why evil seeks to render the Christian powerless and afraid. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith." And the reason we're called to resist is because we've been given, we have someone that can enable us to do far, far more than we could on our own. That's the power of God's Spirit with us. A young couple had been teaching a Sunday school class. Their 3-year-old was in the class. And they had been teaching Psalm 56, verse 3, which says, "When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in thee." It was an easy to memorize verse, that when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Well, one week after church, the family was at home and a strong thunderstorm took place and it was just raging outside. So the family all got into the living room together and sure enough, there was a loud clap of lightning and the lights went out. Well, the father was stumbling around in the dark. He was trying to find matches and some candles to light. And as he was fumbling around, they could hear their little 3-year-old son say, "I'm not afraid." Well, expecting the child to recite what he had learned in Sunday school, the mother inquired, "Tell us, son, how come you're not afraid?" And he said, "Because I have my flashlight." If your world becomes dark and it seems like your power has gone out, don't be timid. Don't be afraid. For you have so much more than a flashlight. You've got Jesus Christ, who Scripture tells us is a light of the world. You have Jesus, who the Gospel of John tells us is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. You know what? Jesus is all you need to go forward in faith as you serve the Lord. You don't need to be successful. You just need to be faithful in joining Him in service. I know you're going to get asked again later this year or next year to help with VBS. This month you'll get a letter telling you it's time for your pledge, and we want you to consider your time, your talent, and the giving of your resources. I'm sure that very soon you're going to be asked to participate in our Mardi Gras fundraiser that provides scholarships over there at the preschool. These requests present themselves to us time and time again, and it can be tiring. Often it can seem more like sacrifice than joyful service. But those who join the Lord in service find a spirit of power that can work in them and through them, and that energizes faith. And Jesus knows all about this. I want you to think about the cross of Calvary. There at the cross, the light of Jesus was snuffed out. It literally that afternoon became dark when he breathed his last breath. Jesus was dead and buried. And it looked from every possible human angle that no matter from what direction you viewed the situation, his life and the ministry that he ignited, his service to God was over and done with. Defeat appeared to be the only possibility. The fact that his promises and claims had come to an end stood as the final reality anyone could envision. And so the disciples, what did they do? They went and they hid because they were afraid. The vision of hope and a future of God's own making had been completely removed from their belief system. Psalm 56:3. "But when I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee." On the third day, God allowed us to see a new reality. And I'm glad we celebrate Easter once a year. Shoot, every Sunday used to be called Resurrection Sunday so that we could be reminded of that fact. And we need that reminder because life is hard. Because life and even faithful service to God can be difficult, we need that reminder that the spirit of power that raised Jesus from death to life, from a hopeless end to an endless hope, is the exact same spirit of power that gives each one of us who believe a faith to continue. It's because of that spirit of power we can stand and recite the Apostles' Creed and remind ourselves that Jesus went not only into the grave, but he rose and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, where there he rules for us. Paul says, man, so there's no need for timidity, no need for fear. What I love is the spirit not of timidity but of power when at work in us is the spirit that allows us to be like David
And when we face these giant Goliaths, when filled with the Spirit, we can say, thank you, God, you've given me a target so big I can't miss, rather than recoil in fear. I'm sure you've been in the situation where you're sitting on the entrance to a ramp of a freeway and you're sitting there because the person in front of you is too afraid to merge with the oncoming traffic. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity passes them by. And everyone sitting behind them, which of course the line gets longer and longer, grows agitated. And finally, oh thank God, when there's no cars at all, they make their move. Sadly, due to the overwhelming timidity, the traffic sign there that said yield for them really meant surrender. Timothy, fan into a flame the gift of God. For God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. You have a faith in the saving God who empowered your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice to pass the same spirit of power onto you. Go forward in that same power and pass it on to others. You don't need anything new. Just use what you already have. You have the Spirit that ignites power for spiritual living and faithful ministry. So just fan what's already there. Throw on a few logs of stewardship, several logs of scripture, a couple logs of worship and prayer, and I guarantee you, you're going to see your faith burning bright. Let us be God's confident witnesses in the world today. Amen. And because God does speak to us through His Word, we do know a lot about what we believe. And we need to share that with the world, but it begins here and now as we stand and express our faith. If you will, take your bulletin and together let us say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Because God is with us, let us go to God with our prayers. God, when we think about Jesus hanging on a cross, we see that even when He was at His weakest, You were doing the greatest. In Your weakness, You were able to forgive the whole world. In Your weakness, You were able to destroy death. There in Your weakness, You were able to rise up and show us newness of life. And so for that, we say thank You and ask that Your power be available to us. And that when it comes to being Your witness in the world today or going forth to serve in Your name, I hope and I pray that all of us would see it not just as a chore, but as a calling, as a privilege where we get to encounter God. your presence and your power working in us and through us so that you can bless others. We do thank you for your blessings, which are so generously granted and so faithfully and steadily given. And help us to desire that kind of blessing for all the people around us and those that you send our way. The destruction of hurricanes and the flooding waters. Let's take that powerful compassion that you've put in our hearts and help us to give it to others, even if it may be costly. Thank you for Jesus, who gave us such a wonderful example of humble service, who in an act of love was willing to do whatever was necessary to save our lives. We find great confidence knowing that you love us with a love that never fails. Help us to serve you not only with hope, but with joy, because we do believe and trust you will fulfill all that you've promised. So help us with our belief, and even help us with our unbelief as we come to you now praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go out singing the Lord whom we love. You'll find the words just printed there in your bulletin. Let's stand and sing that together, the Lord whom we love. As you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.